Go to Luke 5. I believe within this chapter is one of our life's messages. I call this the two kingdoms, learning how to operate in the kingdom of God. You know, you can be blessed a lot of ways. You can be blessed by gift. You can be blessed by an idea. You can be blessed by an inheritance from your family. Or you can be blessed and learn how to operate in the kingdom of God. What we're endeavoring, searching, seeking is to operate in the fullness of the kingdom of God. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're searching for. That's what we're learning. That's what we are being trained for and equipped for. The kingdom of God comes with keys. Amen? Because I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose upon the earth will be loosed in heaven. So I want to dive back into this chapter today. And I want to look at some of the keys, because this chapter is full of the keys of the kingdom. Say full. Say fullness. Full gospel. Glory to God. So we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 5 verse 1. Hallelujah. You know, listen, you have a part and the Holy Spirit has a part. It's very, very, very easy to step over into his part. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit is such a perfect gentleman. He's amazing, very powerful in demonstration. But when you're with him in the times of fellowship and communion and walking with him, he's very sensitive. He's incredibly sensitive to the degree sometimes we can offend him or grieve him, and we don't know we offended and grieved him. Because some of them don't come and tell you you did that. The way you'll know it is you'll be seeking the Lord, and there's no presence. You'll be seeking the Lord, and there's no glory. You'll be seeking the Lord, and you got a brass heaven over you. And you don't know, and you have to find out what happened. What did you do? Because a lot of times when you're seeking the Lord, it's not always the devil. Sometimes we did things. Sometimes we don't know what we did. Sometimes we don't know. We have to find out, what is it, Holy Spirit, that I did wrong? What did we do wrong? Sometimes you're going to have to let him teach you, train you, equip you, but correct you as well. And sometimes he won't just come over and hammer you. The Holy Spirit's not like that. He's not going to come hammer you. When you're getting to the phase where God has to hammer you, you're in big trouble. You ever been hammered? I mean, big time. You're already in big trouble because there's nothing else. Holy Spirit doesn't like to lead like that. He's very sensitive in his movements. He's very sensitive in his operations, and he wants you to learn to be sensitive to him, because you can walk all over him and you don't know you're doing it. And when you start walking all over him, you're going to have a life without him. And when you have a life without him, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Amen? Because you're constantly going to be out of alignment. Glory to God. So let's jump in to this chapter. It's going to be a good one today. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now the story really, this doesn't begin here. It really begins the night before, because verse 5, when Jesus says, launch out into the deep, Peter said something remarkable. He said, Master, we have toiled, labored all the night long and caught nothing. Say, caught nothing. Now notice what they were doing. They were washing their nets in verse 2. Why would they wash their nets if they had not caught anything? What were they washing from their nets if nothing was in the nets in the first place? Amen. All night long they toiled. Notice the Lord didn't approach the boats the night before. The Holy Spirit knows exactly when the timing of God is appropriate to move in your life. When he moves too soon, or when you start moving too soon in the things of God, you're going to get in trouble. All night they toiled. Say, all night they toiled. They needed to get that out of their system. All night, all season. How many of you have been in a season of toiling? A year of toiling and you've caught nothing. You've worked hard and you've caught nothing. You've toiled and you caught nothing. How many of you have been doing it a long time and caught nothing? There's a reason why you catch nothing, and there's a reason why you do catch something. There's a reason. And one of the things the Holy Spirit waited on is for them to be done. When they brought their boats to the shore, they weren't out casually fishing. That was their lifestyle, and that was their living. That was their income. It'd be nothing worse. I mean, when I go fishing, there's nothing worse than not catching anything, although that doesn't happen to me very often. But this was their lifestyle. Some of you might be in sales. You go out and you're toiling for a whole season and you catch nothing. When they docked their boat, they were done. They've been doing it all night. You imagine you've been at it all night and caught nothing. You're ready to go home. You're ready for Labor Day. The last thing you want to do is get back in the same boat you've been in all night and did nothing. But that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did when he's orchestrating the movements of the Lord Jesus Christ. He moved them right back into the boat that they've been in all night. That had been the first difficulty, is getting them out from where they were back into the boat. You know, when you've been in a season, you've caught nothing. And you're washing your nets. There's something in that net called seaweed. Entanglements. You know, I love this show called Deadliest Catch. It's about crab fishing. How many of you ever watch that? It's really awesome. About crab fishing in the Bering Sea. One of the things they love, when they catch in, boy, they are on. Everybody's happy. And when they're not catching anything and those pods come up empty, everybody starts fighting. Attitudes start prevailing, murmuring, complaining, strife, fights. I mean, you name it, it starts happening. Captains start getting full of anxiety. And what, you know, one thing they do, they start calling the other captains. When they're not catching anything, they're asking somebody else, are you catching something? Where is the crab? They want to be on the crab. And when it's not on it, there are all kinds of things. That was what's in their nets. Strife and confusion. That's what was in their nets. Seaweed for being in the wrong place. You can imagine all night long, they probably beckoned to their partners. Are you catching anything? No. You know they had satellite phones. They called up their other partners across the sea, across the Lake of Gennesaret. They said, are you catching anything? No. Nobody catching anything, but you are catching things. Because when you're operating and it's not happening for you, you are catching something, whether you like it or not. And your net has stuff in it. But the Holy Ghost is also looking, not just the fact that you had a bad season, a bad night, and there was nothing happening. The worst thing that can happen for you is get stuck in a season when nothing's happening. When nothing happens, it's breeding contempt. It's breeding things. It's breeding confusion. It is breeding discouragement. It breeds things when things are not moving. We are designed to move. We are designed to increase. We are designed to multiply. We're sons of the King. We're called to multiply. We're called to increase. When things are not happening, your nets are full of things. But that's exactly when God said, you're ready. They were not ready the night before. Too much of them. You got to get some of you out of the equation. Sometimes God starts moving when you're done. When you get to the place of done, God says you're ready. And when you're not done, he's not ready. Because he's not in control. You are. The night before, too full of their own expertise, too full of their own wisdom. We got this. Thank you, God. Just follow along and bless us in our endeavor. We'll be out here. Won't you find out one empty hole after another, after another, after another? And you come in, you're ready now. But the problem is you're not ready. God's ready, but you're not. You ever notice when God's ready to do something, you are not ready. I am done. God said, you're ready. I don't want to get back in that boat. Now I want you to notice from this point on, everything the Lord Jesus does is exactly opposite of what Peter would think. The first thing he wants to do after being in that boat all night long is get back in there. Last thing you want to do as a revivalist is to go to a dead church. When you revive, you want to go where it's alive. Amen? You want to go where it's moving. Everything's built off momentum. But they had no momentum. That momentum was dead in the water. But Jesus saw something and was walking by. They were mending their nets. Listen, if you don't clean your nets, you are not going to be effective for the kingdom of God. No matter what happened to you in your past, weeping may endure for a whole night, but joy comes in the morning. No matter what happened to you the past season, if you don't get that net cleaned out, guess what? You're going to be dragging all that stuff into the next phase. So God was going down the boats, going down the rows, looking for somebody that was mending the nets. Who is going to wash the nets? Who is washing their nets? They didn't catch anything the night before, but they did. You catch a lot of stuff when you're not catching anything. You catch the wrong stuff. When you're not catching anything, you are catching a boatload of baggage. Garbage. Sea trash. You are catching things you don't know, and it's starting to heap up on you. It's starting to heap up on your emotions. You'll start carrying the heaviness of seasons. You'll start carrying that discouragement. You walk in the spirit, you can see people. They'll walk in and they're covered with stuff. And they don't even know they're covered. They got a nice face and they're not a smile, but they are covered over. And you know they're going through a struggle. It's okay to go through a struggle. It's okay to go through a midnight. But you've got to wash that off. To get ready for the kingdom, you cannot have that in the next level. You got to wash that net. Get over it. You got to get over what happened last night. Last season is last season. You don't understand. I do understand. Pastor for 17 years, and you will understand a lot of things. There's not much happens that has not already happened. It's usually the same stuff after a while. When you first get exposed to it, it'll blow you out of the water. It'll just blow your mind. The capacity, people. Capacity of the enemy and the people. It's crazy. But after a while, you know, you get used to it. But you got to wash that stuff off. I mean, you've been through something in the last year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, you've been hammering. People will disappoint you. You got to wash that. Did you leave that stuff up in the net? Guess what? In the kingdom of God, you can't go fishing with kingdom stuff with that stuff hanging on. That's what the Holy Ghost was looking for. He was walking down that line of boats, watching who was going to wash that net. Who is washing the nets? That's the best thing they ever did. The second best thing they did is labor all night and caught nothing. You've got to go through seasons like that in the kingdom to differentiate what the kingdom looks like and what you look like. Because as long as you still think you can do it, you're operating on your own. And you can be blessed on your own. You can come to God and shout hallelujah. And get right out there and get it done out there with a nice paycheck. But you're never going to see the next part of this story. The next part is the good stuff. Amen. Jesus says, oh, you'll do. Peter, your boat's just fine for me. Let's get back in the boat, Peter. The first thing Peter said, look, it's Labor Day weekend, God. I'm done. I didn't catch anything. You gonna get me back up in that boat? I don't want to be anywhere near that. God's not going to let you live detached from the kingdom of God. Because what happens when you get hurt or disappointed or broken? When you end up empty, you get so disappointed, you get detached. You live indifferent, complacent. And that indifference will keep you detached, and God's going to put you right back up in there again. It's like with any sport. When the athlete has a bad day, you got to get him right back up in there. Got to get him re-engaged. Do not let him out there too long. So he re-engages them into the boat. Steps in there. And those who he goes, launch out now. We got to get out of the environment. You want the park now. The worst thing you can ever do is park in a place of isolation. You got to re-engage. I see people get hurt or disappointed. They get disappointed in God. They get offended in God. Somebody in church offended them. God knows that never happens. You put 100 people together, you're obviously going to have some kind of situation. Have you ever had a problem with any family member in your life? Don't raise your hand, but you know. That's just your family. Put 100 people together. God's family, you're not going to have an issue here and there? Everybody's just going to get along all the time? Of course you're going to have a little issue every once in a while. Yeah, move on. Tell them to move on. Jesus gets up in that boat. He says, no. No isolation. Step out. Launch out. The Word of God steps in that boat and he begins a process of separation. There's always going to be a separation and a consecration. And now there's a difference now. Notice they're in the same lake they were in last night. They're in the same place. But now everything's different because something else up in that boat. He sat down, the Bible says. Sat down. If the kingdom of God's ever going to have an effectiveness in our life, you're going to have to let the Lord sit down into your life. You've got to let him bring you into a place of rest. I'm not talking about you sitting on a couch. I'm talking about bringing your nature to rest. Bringing what happened all last night to rest. There was no rest. The first thing Peter was saying, okay, good, God's in the boat. Finally. Peter's going, I need a paycheck. You know the whole time. Look, if you come home and there's no paycheck, and God gets up in your boat, what's the first thing you're thinking about? Paycheck. Paycheck. God's in the boat. Where are we going fishing now? Jesus is in the boat. I know he knows how to fish. Jesus sits down and says, get up. Grab an oar. Where are we going? See, Peter, he still got some of that left in him. He's trying, get an oar. Let's go. Come on. He's wanting to get out there and get right back out there because he's got paycheck on the mind. He's got the blessing on the mind. But here's the point. God has the blessing on the mind too. But he's going to make some serious changes. Some serious priority changes. There's going to be a massive transformation before he gets them out there where the blessing is. First thing he does is sit down. Nobody wants to sit. Then he said, this is awesome. Then he began to teach the people out of the boat. Now I want you to look at this from Peter's perspective. Peter's needing a paycheck. Peter needs a blessing. God, you're in my boat. Let's get out where the fish are. That's his livelihood. And God said, no, let's go preach. I don't need to preach right now. I need a paycheck. They would say paycheck. You go work for a week and don't bring nothing home. See what you'll be thinking about. He's got him up in the boat. And he wants to go preach. Completely shifts the paradigm of that vessel's purpose. That is the last thing Peter would ever think. Preach. Jesus, psst, come here. This is a fishing boat. I'm sure I could find you a paddle boat. I can find you something over here you can preach out of, but this is my livelihood. And you're asking me to surrender my livelihood to something I really don't even want to do. I don't even want to be in this boat right now. I want to be home. It's Labor Day. You got me back out here. I thought we were going fishing. This is what we do. This is what my vessel's for. see the dynamic of the transformation of the will? Who's in control here? From the minute Jesus stepped into the boat, Peter's will is having to learn how to bend to the ways of God. His will's having to learn to bend his whole livelihood. Listen to this. Not only his will, his livelihood's having to bend to the purpose of God. So when you wake up in the morning, God may have something else that's moving you. God's going to get you to where the fish are. But he's putting his kingdom now priority. He's shifting the priority of the kingdom. And Peter's having to go along. Even you know Peter's wanting to go fishing. Jesus is out there preaching. Said, would you finish this sermon? But Peter was not in control. Holy Spirit doesn't took control of the vessel. Listen, for the kingdom to manifest and to move the way we want, we have to give him control. We have to give him control. Amen. You know, Peter had been consulting with every one of the partners the night before. Say, listen, I know we didn't catch anything out here, but we're going to go in the northwest quadrant of the Lake of Gennesaret. And over there is where the big fish are. In fact, I got a contract. Somebody gave me a contract. I know where the fish are. Just go over there. It's going to happen. Do you got to watch directing your boat? I've been doing that a long time. You got to watch your ability to direct the things of God and tell him where things are going to happen. God's up in all our vessels, but see, we're still directing. We're still directing. Oh, right here is right where it's going to be. And God said, no, right over here. Do you know before I was a preacher, I wanted to be a businessman? I want to be a businessman. I studied international finance and University of Texas. Woohoo! Any of UT fans in here? So you're directing. Directing where that boat's going to go. Notice who was not in charge of the direction anymore. Notice that Peter might have had the steering wheel, but Jesus was in charge. In every place they were going, he was in charge of the direction of what they were doing. And each time you could imagine, Peter was completely out of alignment. When Jesus was over here preaching, Peter's wanting to be over here fishing. When Jesus was wanting to get in the boat, Peter's wanting to get out of the boat. When Jesus wants to sit down, Peter's wanting everybody to get up and start rowing. We constantly find ourselves where he is not. And it's the will that has to bend to the ways of God. It's the will that has to bend to the direction of God. But sometimes we think we got the direction. Now here's a scripture for you. I give you the keys of the kingdom, but whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. God could be up in your boat and he knows exactly where the fish are and he wants to be over here preaching. And you want to be over here thinking you're going to go catch something. And you're constantly over here and God said, I'm over here. He called me right out of college when I was studying international finance. He said, I want you. He called me out. I wouldn't suggest anybody, but he called me out. He says, I want you to go to the mission field. That's what I did. Started following God. I'm thinking, what happened to the business calling? You called me to be a pastor. You struggle with that when you think you're a business person, you know. You're an entrepreneur spirit and God calls you a pastor. That's a little struggle. Until you get acclimated to the things and the ways of the kingdom. Amen. Because he's teaching us about how to operate in the kingdom. But the worst thing you can do, by the way, is to bind your will down to be somewhere where he's not. Because what happens, you'll take that boat and he'll stay over here, and you got that boat, you drop in the net, pull it up, nothing. Drop in the net, pulling it up, nothing. I know the fish are here because I got a contract that says they're here. I got fish right here. Everybody else is catching fish here. Chuck caught fish here. Brad caught fish here. Enrique caught fish here. Tim couldn't catch fish, even if he wanted to. Richard caught fish here. I know there's fish here. And when you drop down your net, there's no fish. Because God is somewhere else for you. Because God is a God that commands the fish of the sea for you. But he's going to command them when you're where he is. Sometime you just got to pull your nets up and say, you know, I know this place is just full of promise right here. I know it's just awesome. It's just not for me. I don't know. I just got to get where he is. Sometimes you're going to have to let go of the reins and say, all right, we're going to go over here. I don't understand this at all. We are fishing and I haven't been paid all week. And we are preaching. Then Peter gets a brilliant idea. Wow, there's 15,000 people out there. He starts saying, maybe we shouldn't go fishing after all. You know, Peter said, offerings, offerings. Look at the crowd. Oh, pass the bucket. Ah, there is my paycheck. There's 15,000 people, Lord. Hurry up, finish preaching. Pass out the offering envelopes. I don't act so holy, preachers. God sends you somewhere, you know, especially if you're an evangelist, that those people you're preaching to are probably going to be the ones to be supporting you. If you something special and think that that's not, go out on the road two or three times and come out blank. See how long you'll keep preaching like that. Now, but when you're operating by the kingdom, it's different. You know, Peter's sitting there, oh my God, look at that congregation. This is my boat, Jesus. You're using my boat. See, Peter forgot the whole time that the Lord was using his boat. And when God uses something, he does not use it for free. Payday is always coming for everybody. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. The blessing is going to show up. You may be laboring and laboring and laboring. He might be preaching one sermon. He might be preaching 50,000 sermons. He might be preaching 17 years and you haven't seen it yet. And God, that's it. I've preached now. Thank you. That's not your source out there, by the way. Launch out into the deep with me. But Master, I've been toiling all night out there and nothing's happened. He goes, it's going to be different this time. Because I'm with you. And I am up in there. See, there's two kingdoms going on. Notice the kingdom the night before. Notice the same sea, same net, same boat. Two kingdoms simultaneously operating. Kingdom of this world, labor, catching nothing. Kingdom of God, all the priorities shifted to the kingdom. He got Peter in alignment, and he got his vessel in alignment. He got his life into alignment to where he was and what he was doing. That's the hardest thing ever, is to, I'll say it like this, stay in alignment. It's easy to get into alignment, but to stay in alignment. Why? You have a soul. Your soul likes to do things that are contrary to the will of God, but you don't know they're contrary to the will of God because your soul thinks it understands the will of God. In fact, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 10 says, I've seen servants upon horses and princes walking on the face of the earth. Solomon, I see the most interesting thing. I see servants upon the horse and princes are walking on the face of the earth. See, the prince is supposed to be on the horse and the servant's supposed to be following behind. Prince is supposed to have the reins of the horse and a servant's following, and that's the way the order was supposed to be. And Solomon saw it all reversed. Now, if you look at that in a type and shadow operation of spirit, soul, and body, who would be the prince? Your spirit, the new man, the heir of God. He's the prince. The servant would be the soul, right? He's supposed to take direction from the air, the new man. And then the body would be the way about you get around, and that'd be the horse. The spirit is supposed to have the reins of the horse, the body, And the soul is supposed to be behind, taking orders from the new man, the air, and the air takes orders from God. That's the way it's supposed to be. But what happens when the soul takes charge, the prince, the new man gets unseated. And when he gets unseated from that position, what happens? The soul takes reins. But here's the thing about the soul. It thinks it knows everything. You can even have a humble soul and completely miss it. Because the soul is going to work it out. That's what the soul does. Mind, will, emotional faculties, intellect. It's going to work out your salvation for you. Don't worry about the Holy Spirit. I can work this out. Matter of fact, I already heard by a good report that if I go into the northwest quadrant of the Lake of Gennesaret, all the fish are there. Don't worry about where he needs to preach or not. Just come on over here. Just get on over here and drop your nets. And that's where the fish are. And one thing about the soul that I found is when you go drop your net and it comes up empty, then I always like to repent that it's been wrong. Normally what it does is, well, maybe I heard it was the northeast corner of the Lake of Gennesaret. Go on over there. And you drop your net, and I say, maybe it was the southwest corner. And you drop your net, maybe it was the southeast corner. The soul will keep on going. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Heard anybody like that? Have you ever been like that yourself? You keep trying to manufacture the way that God is going to fill that boat up. It's wanting to manufacture. And it's constantly out of alignment with the kingdom of God because it thinks it knows. And what will happen? The Bible says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, your soul can bind you down into something where God is not. And if God's not there, he's going to be in that sea. He's going to eventually get you there, but he might be somewhere else right now. And if you don't get where he is, you're going to bind the whole process down. And sometimes you're going to have to yield yourself to something you're not designed for. You're yielding your will. Like Peter had to yield that boat to God. It's a fishing boat. It's not designed for preaching. Sometimes you're called to humble yourself. I'm not really called to do this. Do you know who I am? Do you have any idea the gift of God that is standing before you this day? Yes, I do, but I need you to go get me a bottle of water. I am not here to serve. I am here to be behind that pulpit. Now, when am I going to preach? Leave that to others. Do you have any idea of the gift I've got? Do you need my resume? We have to get a line. But there's going to come a day. That day is coming, my friends, when he says what? Okay. Kingdom has been taken care of. Thank you, Peter. We're not done. Now let's launch out into the deep. But even then, when God says launch out into the deep, even then you'll get up. Your past will start. But we've been out in that same water. And nothing's happened. I was out there all night. Nothing. I don't go back out there. There's a lot of work getting out there. Look, they didn't have motorboats in those days. They had a row out there. There's a lot of work getting out of the deep. Can't we just do it right here? You're God, by the way. Just command the fish right here. No, let's go out to the deep. And man, they got out there. God commanded the fish of the sea into those nets. And the Bible says Peter was astonished. I started talking about this last couple of weeks ago. We got to get back to the gospel of astonishment. You know, it's been a long time since any one of us have been really astonished with anything going on in any part of the church, anywhere. You know what? We're all used to it. We did the charismatic thing. We got it. We're used to it already. But listen, there's some stuff coming down from heaven in these last days that not one of us are used to. It's an astonishment. God wants to astonish his people. He's going to astonish the business person, the saints, and the sinners alike. Somebody say amen. He's going to astonish. On the open sea, Peter, never in his life ever had seen anything like that. That boat was filled. He knew that was far more than a payday. Man, that was a transference. He filled not only Peter's boat, it got so full that he called his partners and their boat was full. And Peter fell on the fish. He said he fell on his knees. Their boats were full and he fell. And he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. All day he was out of alignment. All of a sudden he got in alignment. God let down those nets and there they were. That's the kingdom of God. And that's where we're going. The alignment of the kingdom of God. To see the harvest of the kingdom. The bending of our will and our ways. The bending of our preconceived notions of how God's going to get this done. For one thing I found out about God, he's most likely going to do it in a way not one of us ever thought it was going to happen. Just think about the ways God's blessed you in this lifetime. Think about some of the things God's done for you, the greater things God's done for you. They surprise you. They shock you. I never thought about that. I mean, the whole day Peter's out of alignment. Why wouldn't God just fill that boat up? You think Peter thought they were going to catch anything? You know when he was rowing out there, he's probably telling the guys, God, we were out here all night and he's taking us out here. Can you believe this? Row, boys, row. Row, row. All night, and he was taking us out to the same place. I was out here last night. Nothing happened. You know they were just going at it on the way out there. But the Lord, see, he knew. They got kingdom, and the kingdom got up in there. I want more than anything is the kingdom. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is an adversary, but the greater adversary is us. Of being out, again, in the way of God, or being out of alignment with God. We're not where he is. We're not doing what he wants. We're not what he wants. We're not in alignment because we're not in alignment. Things are not happening for us. And it's so easy to be in the wrong place. And I'm not talking about location. You can be spiritually or soulishly in the wrong place. You mean hanging out with the wrong people. And you don't know how those people are affecting you. You don't know how they're tearing at you. You don't know what they're doing. I mean, you've had a soul tie. You call them soul ties. You know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Soul ties, you get tied to somebody's soul, not to their spirit. Sometimes their soul, it's not all there. There's some other stuff up in there. And you get tied up into that, guess what? You can get knotted up in that. You can get bound up in that. Their issues become your issues. I remember one time. Well, that's what happens with a soul tie. That, you know, somebody can have a beautiful spirit, but they got an ugly soul. I mean, it's just off. There's this thing out of order. There's sometimes critters up in there. I mean, if you want to be just honest about it. But you get connected. You got to watch. You get connected. You'll get connected with their issue. You start feeling their stuff. You think it's your stuff. It's their stuff transferring right over. You got to watch that stuff because that'll get you out of alignment. Amen? But then you got iron that sharpens iron that'll get you and launch you. There are people that will launch you. You get around them and they'll just smooth launch you up. They'll launch you into a new place. They'll challenge you to move in a new place. Ever challenge you to go up higher. Ever challenge you to seek and to know God and bring you up into the mountain of God. There are people that drag you down. There are people that will lift you up. The people that drag you down, you need to minister to them, but you are not there for them to drag you down. You're there to minister to them. You got to keep a healthy distance with them. Otherwise, they'll drag you smooth down. I've seen it happen. Too many times in church, just the attraction people have. Got to watch that because that'll get you out of alignment very fast. Amen? He gets them out and he fills the boat. Peter is astonished. I don't know about you, but I want to be astonished. God, astonish me. The kingdom of God, you can write this down, will astonish. I call it the gospel of astonishment. This week, go look up the word astonishment or astonished in the Bible. How many times the Lord were astonishing people over and over and over. His presence would astonish people. The works and the operations of the Spirit around him, his doctrine would astonish them. He cast out devils right in front of everybody. They were astonished because the kingdom of God was at hand. Amen. The kingdom of God cannot be at hand if we're not in alignment with him. So some of you have labored all night. And by the way, before I get there, before I close, when they hit the shore, you'd think Peter would want to go fishing again after he saw that. He said they left all and followed him. Peter knew, my God, the blessings on that man. Get around somebody, got the blessing on them. I'm going to get the blessing on me for the last thing I do. I want the inheritance of God on my life. That's what I want. Being trained for it. Hallelujah. They went to land. They all followed him right there. Listen, every one of these men had families. What do you think that catch was for? Because they were about to follow him for 3.5 years. That's why Peter fell. He just saw 3.5 year worth of income show up in one afternoon. How many trips out there do you think it would have taken them to get that? 3.5 years worth of trips. God gave it all to him in one afternoon. Paid for it all up front. That's God's anointing upon somebody. Isn't that glorious? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Listen, I sense in my spirit there's some people been laboring all night. Some of you are blessed. Some of you are wanting to get blessed. Some of you are really blessed. Some have been laboring all night and have caught nothing. Won't you all stand up if you will? Some of you may have caught nothing. Listen, it's not a waste of time to go and do that. That process was given to understand and be able to distinguish the difference. The process is given to distinguish what God looks like and what you look like. See, your capacity is going to come to the end of the road one day. Everyone's human capacity will come to the end of the road. God will let you walk with that human capacity for a while. When you get up in the glory, your human capacity is going to come to the end of the road. In other words, you're not going to be able to do it the way you did it before. You're going to go out there and try to do it, and it won't work anymore. How many of you ever been there? You went out there, and it worked for me for 10 years. It was awesome. And I've been doing the same thing, and nothing's happening. God is shifting. He's changing the paradigm by which you operate because he wants to create a greater level of harvest and a greater level of increase. And it's got to be done kingdom now. And to do it the ways of the kingdom, we have to bend down to the ways of the kingdom. Our will's got to bend down, our boat, our vessels, our lifestyle, our livelihood, everything. Hallelujah. Father, we may have toiled all night, but today we wash our nets. Today we wash our nets. Just take your nets out right now. Wash them. Wash the nets of disappointment. Wash the nets of past trespasses. Wash the nets of past failures. Wash the nets. Wash the nets of depression. Wash the nets of strife and confusion. Wash the nets of unforgiveness. Wash the nets of your own sufficiency, your own ways, our own ways. Our will not bow down. We entangle our nets. We present them to you, Lord. We surrender and present our nets to you today. Find our boat. The eyes of the Lord going to and fro the earth, says the Spirit of God, looking to show himself strong on the behalf of those. We humble ourselves unto your ways. We humble our soul. The fact is, God, we may know how to be blessed, but I want to know where the fish are. I want to know how to operate in inheritance. I want to know how to operate in the kingdom. The fact is, Father, we don't fully know how to operate. We need to be with you, Lord. We surrender everything to be with you where you are, our soul, our mind, our will, our preconceived idea, notion of how you're going to get this done. We just surrender it all. All we need is you the word of the living God to be in our boat. We keep you in the midst of our boat. And today we vow to be with you where you are. We surrender to your purpose. We surrender to put your kingdom first. To give it first place. I surrender.